want to know what it is. The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
I grew up with and still could watch over and over. But there you've got like this classic film, and you have within that this kind of really iconic scene where Neo has to choose whether he takes the blue pill or the red pill. And it's a massive decision. It's a pivotal decision. It's a life-changing decision. It's a decision that he can't go back on, a decision that potentially after that nothing will ever be the same. And actually you have in the film, don't you? You have Cypher who regrets that decision and tries to undo it, but he can't. He can't undo the decision that he's already made. And I think all of us, we get decisions like this in some ways, obviously not whether to come out of the Matrix or not, but we each get kind of decisions that really affect the whole trajectory of our lives. So like for myself, a really big decision that I had to make a few years ago was which university to go to. And that has affected my life since then. Similarly, when I started at university, I had to decide which church I wanted to go to. And that was a really big decision that has affected so much of my life since that point. And I think sometimes, or often, when we make these decisions, we don't even really realize the gravity of the decisions that we're making as we make them. I don't think I really realized at the point where I decided to settle at Christchurch how massive that decision was going to be in my life. But it was. And in today's reading, we see that Israel have a massive decision to make. They have a massive decision that they need to make, and they are challenged to make it. It is a decision that is binding, a decision that they can't turn back on. It's a decision that's not only going to affect them, but it's going to affect generations to come after them. And so this brings us to the end of our series in Joshua, doesn't it? And we've learned a lot through this book, and it's been really encouraging but challenging. And so for us, as we come to the end of Joshua, I think that we have a decision to make as well. And we have a decision to make on how we are going to allow this series that we've gone through to impact our lives. Are we just going to let it just kind of drip off us and move into the next thing? Or are we going to really allow this book to impact us and to change the way that we want to live out our lives for God? So let's look at this chapter. So Israel are kind of gathering together, and they're gathering together at the end, or towards the end, of this big kind of military campaign that they've had throughout the book of Joshua. They've still got a few more bits to do, but on the whole, they've kind of had massive amounts of victory, and they've more or less kind of claimed the promised land for themselves. Joshua himself is really old, and he's kind of moving towards the end of his time. And a kind of cool fact as well is if you remember a few months ago now, when we were talking about how the Israelites reaffirmed their covenant to God after their victory in Jericho, right in the middle of their campaign. Well, actually, this is more or less the same place. This is Shechem, so exactly the same place, where now they are coming right at the end of their military campaign to reaffirm their covenant to God once again. And so as they do this, as they come together, as they reaffirm the covenant that their nation is bounded on, they go through, they do three things that I want to talk through this evening. So the first thing they do is they remember. So looking through verses 1 to 13, we can see that God reminds the Israelites. He reminds them of his goodness, and he reminds them of how he has brought them into the promised land. It was him that did it. It wasn't them. It was him. Just kind of scanning through these verses, you can see it so clearly. So, for example, verse 3 says, "But I took your father Abraham from the land." Verse 4, "And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country." Verse 5, "I sent Moses and Aaron, I afflicted them." Verse 8, "I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan." And it just kind of goes through so much, I did this, not you, it was me, it wasn't you, it was me. And then so we get to the end of verse 12, 13, it says, "I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." They did not do it. It was all God. He brought them in. He did it. He took them through it, and he led them there. So it is God. It is God that brought them into the promised land. And today, it is God still that brings us into the promised land. You know, we've talked about all the way through this book of Joshua, we've talked about how, although today we are not being brought physically into Canaan, we are being brought into the promised kingdom of God. And that, again, is something that is completely him. It is not us. We did not do it. All God asked for from the Israelites was faith and obedience. And for us, all he asks for is faith and obedience. He asks us to turn to him in faith. The rest is him. And even faith, the Bible tells us, is from him. So God does it. It is all him. He leads us. He guides us. So Israel remembers. Israel remembers that it is God. He is the one that has brought them there. He has done it. And then, after they have remembered, they are given a choice. Israel has a choice. So I'm just going to read verses 14 and 15 now. It says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So the Israelites are given a choice. They are given a bailout. They are told, if you want to serve the idols and the gods around you, go for it. Or serve God. Or serve the Lord that has brought you into this land. On paper, it's a simple choice. It's a take a red pill or a blue pill. But actually, it is a massive choice. It is not a small choice. It's a choice that will affect them and affect their whole generation. They're given this choice. Will you serve God? Will you serve the God that has brought you here? Or will you serve the false gods around you? Your choice. You decide. So Israel remembers, and then they have a choice. But what do they choose? What do they choose? Well, Israel chooses God, and they renew the covenant. And we see that throughout verses 16 to 27. And actually, the fact is how could they not?
Okay, how could they not choose God? After they remember all the amazing things that he has done for them, all the ways that he has brought them through, all the ways that he has had victory over these false, useless gods, how could they then say, oh, actually, I think I'd rather serve these rubbish gods and not this Lord who has brought us here? How could they not? You know, they say, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt. How could they? How could they not choose God? They remember what God has done. Now, memories are a really powerful thing, aren't they? And so I want to challenge you all today. You know, remember the things that God has done for you. Remember what he has done for you. During those times where you're tempted to step away, where you're tempted to focus your eyes on false gods, on idols, when you're struggling, when you're thinking, God, where are you? What are you doing? Remember the things that God has done for you personally, but also in saving you, in bringing you to him in the first place. Remember that. Remember that he has brought you into the promised land. You know, that is what the Israelites are doing here, and they know that they have to choose God. How could they not? But at the same time, it is not a light thing. It is not a light decision that they are making. It is serious. It is weighted. You know, there are very real consequences, and there are conditions. So it says, verse 19 to 20, Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you." So there was a consequence. It wasn't a simple decision to make, because there was a consequence of their decision. It was big, and they had to accept that. They had to accept, okay, we are choosing to serve God, but we know that if we slip up, then there are consequences. But even within that, they choose to renew the covenant, and they have witnesses. So they are witnesses, it says in verse 22, to themselves, and they accept that. And it is written down, and it says that the stone is a witness. So there is evidence. You know, this is a legitimate thing that they are making. It is a serious thing that they are making. They are covenanting with God to follow him and be his people. And throw away their idols. And for a time they do that. Just looking ahead to verse 31, it says, "Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel." So for a time they were obedient. For a time they followed and kept to this agreement that they had made. But it doesn't last long. In fact, just one generation later, they are already serving other gods again. They are already falling away. And in fact, just one page flipped over in Judges chapter 2, verses 10 to 13, it says, "After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths." So just one generation later, and already they are falling away. Already they have backed out of this covenant that they have made, and they are already serving other gods. But why? Why have they done this? Well, there's two reasons I'd like to suggest this evening for why they did this. I'm sure there are lots of others, but these are the ones that I want to focus in on. The first thing I want to say is they forgot. They did not instruct the new generation well enough about all the amazing things that the Lord had done for them as a people. And they forgot. They completely forgot all that the Lord had done. They had forgotten, and that the Lord had rescued them and brought them into the promised land. You know, it is so important for us, isn't it? It is so important that we are teaching and instructing the new generation of believers about how amazing Jesus Christ is. It is so important that we are doing that. It is vital. You know, we are always only one generation away from completely falling. You know, we need to be instructing the new generation about how amazing God is. It is so important. But also what is important is remembering, okay? Remember that God is good. Remember what God has done for you. You know, there will be moments where you will forget. There will be moments where you forget that God is good. There'll be moments where you forget how amazing God is. There'll be moments where you'll forget what he has done for you. And in those moments, remember. Remember that God is good. Remember that he has saved you. And remember all the things that he has done for you. Do not forget. So that is the first reason that I want to share, that they fell away. The first was because they forgot. The second was because they couldn't. They just couldn't. You know, the New Testament is full of different verses which tell us that the Old Testament law was hard. It was hard because God is righteous and his standard is too high for us. He is so holy and righteous that we cannot meet his standards. And the Israelites tried, but they couldn't, and they fell away, and they decided to turn to other gods that were easier, other gods where life was simpler. They just couldn't do it. Now, the good news for us, as we've been sharing and showing throughout Joshua, is that for us, things have changed, haven't they, through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, that standard has been met. We will not fall away because he keeps us. He has brought us into the promised land and he will keep us there. And his Holy Spirit, who he has gifted to us, will empower us for righteous living through him. Of course, that doesn't mean that we will never mess up. But what it does mean is that we are not kept under the same covenant before whereby it is too hard for us to stay close to him. And what it means is that through his son, we can be forgiven and we can know him and we can be kept through grace, not through acts, not through trying to be righteous out of our own strength, not through trying to do everything out of our own strength. He has kept us and he will keep us. So things have changed for us in that respect. But what I do want to say is that here we see that Israel remembers. Israel has a choice. And Israel chooses God and renews the covenant. And whilst the nature of our covenant is different, I do think that today we have the same opportunity to do all of these three things. Okay, so firstly, we need to remember. We need to remember. Remember all that God has done. All that he has done in the Bible as revealed to us. But also in all the things that he has done for you personally. If you are a Christian, remember how he has saved you, how he has brought you into his kingdom, how he has delivered you by his grace. So remember. And secondly, make a choice. Choose whether to serve God or to serve other things. Choose whether to serve the Lord your God who has rescued you and brought you into the promised land, or choose to spend your time serving rubbish, useless gods that can't do anything. Of course, for many of us, the nature of these gods has changed. For us, they might not be literal idols on our mantelpiece. I know that, you know, in other parts of the world, or even for some of us here, that can be a real issue. But I suspect for us today, the majority of us, there are other things. There are things that take our heart and our eyes away from God. There are things that we invest our time worshipping and serving that steal our heart and our joy for God. Things that bring us into the mindsets, the ungodly mindsets of the world around us, just like the gods of those days did with the Israelites. Things that take our eyes off him and take our eyes onto things that are not of him. You know, for some of us, that could be things like television, it could be computer, it could be, sometimes it can be relationships, sometimes it can be any number of things that just completely tear us away from the God who has saved us, from the God who has rescued us, that stop us from living radical lives for him, transformed lives for him. And it's a simple choice. It's a red or blue pill choice, but it is impacting. It is transformative. It is life-altering. It is life-shattering. It transforms us. It changes us. And so for some of you today, maybe you have never made that decision to say, I want to serve the God of the Bible. I want to serve Jesus Christ as my Lord. You know, maybe some of you have never made that decision. And I want to challenge you to do that, to think about that. You know, and if you feel today that you are ready and wanting to say, yes, I want to serve God, I want to know him for the first time, then please don't leave here without chatting to someone, talking to people about it and saying, yes, I want to take the red pill. I want my life to be transformed by the truth. I want my life to be changed through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord. But even if you have made this decision before, I think that we have that opportunity to make that choice again and again and again. And I think that the time is always now. The time to choose God is always now. Okay, I think so often in our own hearts and our own lives, we kind of think, oh, okay, well, I'll kind of deal with that thing later, but I'm not going to deal with it now because I just like it too much. Well, guess what? If that's the case, then probably that's an idol. Probably that's something that you know is getting between you and God. If you can't put it down, if you can't say, oh, I need to sacrifice this to God now, then probably that is something that is in the way, something that takes a place in your heart that it shouldn't. You know, the time is always now to say, God, I want to live radically for you. The time is always now to say, God, I want to live a transformed life for you because you have saved me. You have rescued me. You have brought me into your kingdom. So what else can I do? What else should I do other than give you my heart and my life? We need to serve him wholeheartedly. We need to throw away the things that keep us away from him. So this evening, I want to challenge you to reaffirm your faith in God, to reaffirm your commitment that you will serve him, you will serve the Lord. You know, as we become Christians, we are saying, Lord God, I believe in you, I put my trust in you, and in gratitude of that, I want to give you my heart, I want to give you my life. You know, it is not a simple choice, it is a life-changing choice, it is a transforming choice. So we need to remember, we need to choose, and we need to choose God and renew the covenant. You know, if we really understood what God has done for us, then how could we? How could we choose anything else? Like the Israelites, how could they choose anything else after understanding what God had done for them? If we really knew, if we really understood the amazing truth of what it is that God has done for each and every one of us through his son, Jesus Christ, then how could we choose anything else? So I want to encourage you this evening to choose to serve God, to choose to live your life for him, to give him your heart, in the knowledge that we are saved by grace. We are saved by him. It is him that does it. It is him that rescues us. We serve out of gratitude to him because how could we not? How could we not choose him? So this evening, I want you all to remind yourselves of the new covenant. Remind yourselves of the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the salvation that we have in him, and the good news of the security that we have in him. And I want you to recommit. Think and pray about recommitting your heart to God. Say to God again. Say to God again and again. Say to him every day, Lord God, I give you my heart. Lord God, I want to live my life for you. I want to serve you. Think about what are the things that are just stopping you? Why not just throw them away? If you're not sure, if you're thinking, oh, well, I kind of like that, so we'll just get rid of it. you know, if it is at that point, then it probably is just an idol. Just throw it away. That's not to say that there aren't good things that we can enjoy, of course. Of course, there are so many good things of the world that we can enjoy. But we have to remember which God it is that we are serving. We are serving the God of the Bible. We are serving Jesus Christ. We need to give him our hearts. We need to give him our lives. We need to stop making excuses and just say, God, I want to live my life for you. And I'm really talking to myself here just as much as everyone else. And we need to say to him as a body, Lord God, you are our God, nothing else. All these things, they are just stuff. You are God, and we want to worship and we want to serve you. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are good. You are amazing. You have rescued us and you have brought us into your kingdom, Father. Lord God, we are sorry for the times where we forget how amazing that is. We're sorry, Lord God, for the times that we forget how good you are, how wonderful you are. I pray, Lord God, that this evening you would remind us. Remind us that you are good, that you are worth it, that all this stuff is not the same as you. Lord God, help us to fix our hearts on you. Prepare a people that are living radically for your name and for your glory, Lord God. Change our hearts. Do not let us forget. Help us to remember and always know that you are good and that you want us to live and step into who we are in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.